Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're on the air, online, and streaming live video to Facebook and YouTube, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is not available today because this is a very special edition. It's a special day in the Christian realm. It's Good Friday. And this is a special edition of Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We wanted to veer away from our normal teaching schedule with Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and to really spend today talking about the story of Christ, the good news, his death, burial, and resurrection. It is the most important story that has ever been lived out in human experience. It's the story that has changed everything, changed the very course of human history. It's a story that's changed your life if you've come to know Jesus Christ personally, if you've encountered him and who he's claimed to be and his death, burial, and resurrection in your life. If that's true, then your life has been changed forever. So we want to talk about that story today, and we're going to spend some time in the book of Matthew. We're going to look up a couple of passages in the book of Hebrews. We're going to end this note today in the book of John with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, that is the good news story. And it's interesting that the good news starts with death. You would never think that a good news story, something that's supposed to bring joy and life and happiness and contentment to the human soul, would lead with death. But without death, there is no resurrection. So Jesus had to die in order to be raised again so that you and I could have life everlasting. And so we want to pick up on the story right as he is on the cross. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start in verse 45. So he's been on the cross already 3 hours. His hands were pierced, his feet were pierced, nailed to the cross. He was suspended between heaven and earth about 9 o'clock in the morning. And then we pick up at the sixth hour, 12 o'clock noon. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. I think that was the darkest moment in human history. There are probably many explanations of how it became dark, but God orchestrated, ordered everything so that darkness fell over the land at that particular moment in time, at that sixth hour on Good Friday, 12 o'clock noon until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, those who were around, listening, watching, observing what was happening, would have heard him say that, and they would have connected that to a prophecy out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 22. It is the very first line of that particular psalm, and it's a psalm that describes some of the agony that Jesus was going to experience on the cross when he who knew no sin became sin. So as a human being, you know, Jesus Christ was both fully God, fully human, and it was in this human capacity that Jesus uttered these words. It was the first time in his life that he felt separated from God his Father. That's what sin does. And Jesus was experiencing that. Now, God the Father was always there.
Yeah.
God the Father had not forsaken Jesus. And we know that to be true because of the resurrection, that God was still actively involved in this whole scene, and he was going to bring about the desired outcome, life, new life, Jesus being the first fruits of this new creative order, us experiencing that same resurrection through faith in Jesus. But in his human form, when he who knew no sin became sin, and he bore the sins of the world, this is what he felt. And so he cried out to God. And he talks of his humanness, but it also points to the prophetic nature of this event, that this is something that had been foretold. The psalm goes on to say that Jesus was pierced in his hands and his feet, that they gambled for his clothing. It talks about the crucifixion long before crucifixion had ever been invented. Yes. So Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And at that moment, we know Jesus said some other things. He said, it is finished. John records that, meaning his work in relationship to sin had been completed. He did exactly what God the Father had sent him to do. He inhabited that body. He offered that body up as the once-for-all sacrifice that would take away sin forever. His job was done, and that was a cry of victory. It is finished. And then he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he breathed his last. Now, God punctuated that very moment with some very peculiar things. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What does that mean, Richard? The writer of Hebrews clues us in, right?
Yes, yes. And it's in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, notice these phrases, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water.
Yeah. So this curtain that was in front of the Holy of Holies,
yes,
guarded the way into the very presence of God, torn from top to bottom, indicating that the way into God's presence was now open. Mm-hmm. And it would be the blood of Jesus that would carry any individual into that very presence of God.
Yes.
We can't go in there on our own. We can't go in there with our good works as you know, the way in. It is the blood of Jesus that gives us the confidence. It's the blood of Jesus that carries us in there once and for all. Also, at that very moment, the earth shook and the rocks were split. A great earthquake happened. At that very moment, rocks were split in two. And I think that was God just saying, hey, pay attention to what's happening right here, right now, because it's changing everything. A new revolution is beginning. New life is happening because Jesus died, and he is soon to come to life. And then it says, and tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, that would be freaky, wouldn't it? Seeing people that you had known were dead were in graves, and yet they're walking around the city of Jerusalem. Now, note, they didn't walk into the city until after the resurrection. Now, their graves were open, they were raised at this moment in time, but they didn't get out of those graves and walk into the city until after the resurrection, that Sunday. And then it says, when the centurion and those who were with him kept keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God.
Yeah. It's a very, very special edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Good Friday. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. I'm Bob Davis, and we're very glad that you've joined us. I want to remind you, as we normally do, commonly do, that we're now streaming live video of each day's Basic Gospel program to both Facebook and YouTube. And if you'd like to see what it actually looks like during the live broadcast, we encourage you to take advantage of those, just go to Facebook.com/Basic Gospel or YouTube.com/Basic Gospel. You can do that for the live broadcast during the 3 o'clock Central Time hour here at in the Central Division, Central Dallas area.
Yeah,
Central time. Yeah. So anyway, we encourage you to do that. We've placed cameras around the studio, and you can see each of our faces, if that's a plus or a minus. I don't know whether that is or not, but nevertheless, you can take advantage of that, and we would love for you to do that because it's put there for you. Facebook.com, Basic Gospel, and YouTube.com/Basic Gospel. I'll get it right in a moment.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks, Bob. Well, so we've talked about the death. So that's the first part of the good news story. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And now we want to spend a little bit of time talking about the burial, because that was important.
Yes.
Will doesn't go into effect until the one who made it dies. And burial is a proof of death. But it also means something for us. So the blood of Jesus was poured out. It opened up this new way into the very presence of God. It is through the blood of Jesus that we draw near to God and can experience everlasting life. So the blood of Jesus sets us apart, makes us holy. The blood of Jesus makes us perfect forever. And now we're going to talk about the burial. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Now Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite of the tomb. So this happened immediately. I mean, this was, he died. They saw that he was dead. They pulled his body off the cross. Joseph immediately went, asked Pilate for the body. That body was handed over to him. And it was important for them to get the body in the grave very quickly. Yeah. The Sabbath was coming. So 5:30, something like that, that evening, it was going to shift from Good Friday to Sabbath. And so they had to get all of this done before the Sabbath actually started. Otherwise, they would have defiled themselves and all sorts of things would have happened. They would have had to do in order to make themselves clean again. So they took the body, they laid it in the tomb. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, was there sitting opposite. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." So these Pharisees had followed Jesus very closely. They knew what he had been communicating.
Yeah.
And they were very aware that he had told his disciples on the third day he would be raised again. Now, the disciples didn't really understand exactly what that meant. And we're going to see that as we get to the resurrection aspect of this story. But the Pharisees knew that that's what Jesus had said. Now, they never believed that it would happen. So they believed that the disciples would go and try to steal the body and then perpetuate that lie that Jesus had been raised from the dead. So they made it impossible for that to happen. They sent Roman guards. They asked Pilate to put Roman guards in front of the tomb, and they sealed it. And so those Roman guards, if the disciples had come and stolen the body and gotten away with that, the Roman guards, their lives were in jeopardy. They would have died for that very lack of carrying out their responsibilities.
And besides, the disciples were a fearsome group. I mean, Peter had already tried to pull out his sword, and the worst he could do is cut somebody's ear. It's silly, but it shows that the Pharisees actually took Jesus at his word more than the disciples did.
Yes, indeed.
And they hated him for it.
Yeah. So Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard.
Yeah.
So that's the burial. So they knew that Jesus was dead.
Yes.
They weren't questioning that. They wanted him to remain dead. Mm-hmm. And so they put a stone in front of it, they secured it, and set a guard. So there were guards in front of that that tomb. And so that's the burial. Now, what does the burial mean to you and me? Why is the burial important? One, it's a part of the gospel story. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised again according to the scriptures. First of all, burial is proof of death. So for this new covenant to be ushered in, proof had to be given that Jesus actually died, the one who authored the will. So this burial is proof that he died. All of that ratifies the new covenant, ushers it in, makes it effective. So at this point, the new covenant is in effect. Not the old, but the new. It's also a fulfillment of the old. So the wages of sin is death. So if that old covenant is going to be fulfilled, a death has to happen.
Yes.
And so Jesus died for all in our place. He took the death the old covenant prescribed,
yes,
laid out as punishment for sin. And so burial is proof that the old covenant has been fulfilled once and for all. And so this is an important part. So what does this mean? When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, your old life has been crucified and buried along with Jesus. So the old man is no longer in existence. That person who was once void of the Holy Spirit, will never see the light of day again.
Yeah.
Why? Because that old man has been crucified, dead, and buried, just as Jesus was. And so when you come to faith in him, you are baptized into his death and into his burial, meaning your old way of life is gone. That's good news, folks.
Yeah.
That's why this burial is so vitally important.
Absolutely good news. Thanks, Bob, for sharing those thoughts. And friends, you're listening to a Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel, a very special edition. Thanks for joining us. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And guys, I know that our listeners, many of them, will have questions about the particular events of this particular weekend. And if you have those questions, we would like to hear from you. You can call our toll-free listener line and get that question answered. Simply call 844-322-2742 anytime over the weekend. We'll get your question over the weekend and on Monday, and we will be able to address that question on a upcoming edition of Basic Gospel. But we encourage you to take advantage of that. 844-322-2742. That'll get it directly to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Now we're going to talk about the resurrection. So
yes,
the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, that is the gospel that saves. That's the gospel on which you've taken your stand. Mm-hmm. And that's so vitally important that we once took our stand on the ways of this world, gratifying the desires of the flesh. That's where we found meaning and purpose, and we didn't actually find those things there, but
yeah,
we were hoping that those things would deliver to us. And then we saw that they were just empty. It was an empty way of life. And we heard the gospel, and now we've taken our stand on this gospel. And this resurrection is really the linchpin. It's the hinge on which everything turns. Without the resurrection, his death is meaningless. His burial is really meaningless. Our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. We're without hope in this world. But because Jesus was raised from the dead, everything changes. Now, it was the first day of the week, so that's a Sunday morning. Sabbath had come and gone, and so the women wanted to go to the tomb and to anoint his body. They were bringing things that they could put on his body to help in the burial process. So Mary Magdalene, we're going to read her story in the book of John. So on the first day of the week, she came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." So when Mary gets there, she sees that the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Yeah. She peeks in. No Jesus. The body is not there. So her assumption is not that he has been raised, just as he said, but that somebody has come along and stolen the body, and they don't know where they have taken him.
Yeah.
So that's what she communicates to Peter and John. Now, that's, I think, a normal human response.
Sure.
Even though she had heard Jesus say, along with the disciples, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, be handed over to the authorities, he was going to be arrested, he was going to suffer at their hands, he was going to be crucified, buried, and then on the third day would be raised again. Even though she had heard that, it really didn't register in his in her mind that it could actually be true. And I don't think it registered in the disciples' minds either.
No.
They were a little skeptical of those very words. Why? They didn't have a point of reference for it. They had never thought about resurrection as God's plan to overcome sin and death. They had never looked at it in those terms, but that was always God's plan, resurrection. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter. I love how John just takes these little jabs at Peter.
Just saying.
I'm faster. I know it. I got there first. So they looked in. They saw indeed that the tomb was empty, and they went back to their homes. Now, Mary Magdalene stuck around, and she stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus was there in that garden area, and he appeared to Mary. She looked at him and didn't know who it was. Now Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Now supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary.
That did it.
That did it. What an amazing moment in time. What an amazing moment for Mary. Everything changed at that moment when Jesus called out her name. She recognized him, and then she knew it was true that he was alive. Now, listen, folks. Jesus does the exact same thing for you. There is a point in time, and maybe you've already experienced that point in time when Jesus called your name. He was so personal, so intimate, so caring, so tender. He called your name. There was a point in time where he said, "Bob," and everything changed for me because I recognized Jesus for who he was. There was a time when he said, "Richard." There was a time when he said, "Bob." There was a time when he said, "Greg," when he said, "Coleman," when he said, "Michelle," when he said, "Billy," when he said, "Vivian," when he said, "Jeannie." You put your name in there. There was a time when he said your name, and everything changed. And maybe that time hasn't come for you, but if you're listening today, I guarantee you Jesus is saying to you your name. Listen. Recognize him for who he is, because when you do, everything will change for you. This story, his death, his burial, his resurrection, will become your story. Now, at the end of this very chapter, verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's what this gospel story is all about. Jesus did these very things. God raised him from the dead so that you could have life in his name. If you've never received Christ, let today be that day. Receive that resurrected life. Be raised from the dead just as Jesus was raised from the dead, and live life everlasting.
Thanks for joining us for this Good Friday edition, everybody. Wishing you a wonderful Resurrection Day weekend, in and because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.